coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Sometimes they just go off.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Miami, papi.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome, my friends. Another new episode of Huntsville Home Video, barreling at you on a Monday or whenever it is you happen to download.
Whenever you decide to watch, we won't tell you what to do.
Nah.
No.
Nah, if you're listening on a Friday, I mean, enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
Get into
Happy
it.
Happy weekend. Happy yeah. Friday,
thanks
everybody.
Thanks for kicking it off with us. We appreciate you. My name is
Just
Jeff.
Don't listen to us on a Thursday. Then we get really mad.
I mean, that's true. It fucks up the algorithm.
It does. Yeah. Thursday's the worst day.
Thursday's not a good day for podcasting. The studies have shown.
So Jack says, whatever.
Welcome. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Leanne Foster hasn't seen a lot of movies.
What? What a shocker.
I don't know if I can even say that anymore because as of this recording, we're at what, like,
between over 140
this,
something.
Yeah, between this and what we watched for Hell Comes to Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
We're at almost 200, at least, that I know I've seen now.
I have shown you 200 movies that you previously had not seen.
I think. Or around, I mean, at least with the ones I knew coming into this, sure. At least 200. I've seen at least 200 movies now. Eventually, the shtick doesn't work anymore.
I know. We're going to be like 500 episodes in, just really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I got to be here for 500 episodes. Does Hell Comes to Huntsville count?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Eventually, we will.
I'm going to die here.
We're going to die here.
Fucking die here.
Our end goal is to take all the movies that we've reviewed on this podcast and actually open a brick and mortar video store with only those movies.
I can't. God.
Yeah. After today, I mean, we've got a pretty stellar start on that video store.
We do, actually.
After today.
It's not bad.
No. We got a killer one to add today, or so I think.
Uh-huh.
We'll see what you think, where we'll put it in the comedy section today.
Oh, okay.
We'll be chatting about a movie that up until, last night?
Yes.
Last night. You watched it last night. Leanne Foster has never seen the multi-million-dollar grossing comedy Something About Mary.
Mm-hmm.
This movie made for $23 million, racked up over like $328 million.
No shit.
So they made some money off of this fucking
I would say Ben Stiller's doing well.
Ben Stiller's doing all right.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz getting some good residuals on this one.
Mm-hmm.
The Farrelly brothers, it really kind of put them out for a while longer. They could kind of do whatever they wanted to after this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of fell off the map.
Damn.
They kind of didn't go anywhere.
Poor boys.
They had a couple stinkers, and then Hollywood was like, okay.
You were a one and done, sir.
We're done with you. Thank you for Dumb and Dumber and Kingpin and Something About Mary.
Oh, did they do Dumb and Dumber?
That's right.
Yep. We did talk about that last week.
Yep. And the Jim Carrey, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Haven't seen that one. Put that one on the list.
That one's on the list.
Good.
We'll put it on there.
Good.
The rest of them. They did one with like Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear where they were like Siamese twins.
Yeah, didn't they? Wasn't it like medieval or they did fairy tales or something? Or am I thinking of?
I think you might be thinking of something else. I could be wrong though.
It's amazing how much wires get crossed up here when you don't know what you're talking about.
True. But we are talking about Something About Mary today. So let's find out if this comedy holds up. Let's find out if Leanne Foster even likes this movie. Leanne Foster, what'd you think?
Well, I liked it. It's good, but I thought it was going to be funnier.
Okay.
I didn't really, I, I, I didn't laugh all that much. I think because I've heard people hold it in such high regard, I probably should have watched it when it came out, and then it would have been funnier to me.
Sure, sure, sure.
Does that make sense?
It does.
It's probably aged maybe a bit or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And also, I remembered that Ben Stiller really doesn't do that much for me.
No?
No. He was just a lump of nothing in this movie,
Damn.
It didn't hit me.
What movies do you like Ben Stiller in?
Well, Tropic Thunder was great.
Which is his best one.
And I really love Dodgeball, but I feel like he just plays Globo Gym guy
right
in most things.
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
The more I've seen him, I'm like, oh, it's the same character.
Yeah.
But then this guy was not Globo Gym guy.
No,
he was not.
I kind of had that thought rewatching this one too. I was like, man, Ben Stiller's just kind of there.
Yeah, he didn't have any fun person. Like, a lot of stuff happens to him at the beginning, but there's no fun thing about his personality at all whatsoever in the movie. So there were things that I did laugh at, and we'll talk about them, and I'll probably laugh again, but it just was not overall as funny as I guess I thought it was going to be going into it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But it's good. It is. I enjoy this movie a lot still. I haven't watched it in many, many years. A couple notes that I had were, this is way too long.
It's way too long.
It's
a two-hour movie.
I don't remember it being that long.
Yeah.
And
it drags.
It does.
There was a lot of stuff they could have cut out of it.
There are, like, the space between the gut laughs is too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is much too long. But that was really my only note. That and... I mean, Ben Stiller's just kind of there. Those are like my two big takeaways from this one.
Anybody could have played Ben Stiller and would have had more charisma. He had nothing. He had nothing to give.
Vince Vaughn was, I think, up for that role.
I love Vince Vaughn.
I mean, that dude is pure charisma.
I mean, seriously.
Even in the stuff he's in that sucks,
right?
You're like, man, that boy got a lot of charisma.
Mm-hmm. I still love him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of his worst things that I ever saw him in was True Detective. He just was not that role,
yeah,
in my opinion. But I still loved him.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I kept waiting for him to just bust out some Vince Vaughn-isms.
Right.
And it's like, he never did.
But they were under the surface in a weird way, and it was like, you didn't let it out, and we could see you struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually just recently watched him. It's a movie I've seen many times before called Be Cool. It was a sequel to Get Shorty.
Okay.
Two movies I'm sure you've never seen.
Nope.
And Vince Vaughn is like this Huggy Bear style pimp, but it's Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
And he just walks around, you know, like, yo, baby, come on, it's all good, huh? Yes. Twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
I want to see him as a pimp immediately.
Okay.
What was it called? To Be Cool?
It's called Be Cool.
Okay. Do I have to watch the other one?
No,
I'll go sequel first. That's how I roll.
It is kind of how you
just
do.
Just let me be.
That's how you do.
Let me do how I do.
I'll figure it out along the
cool,
way.
It's all cool, man. It's all cool, man. No problem, Sam.
Twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, 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 baby. Yes, Vince Vaughn sure is great. Would have been great if he was in this movie.
He was not in this movie, though.
This movie, though, it does still have the shit that I remember gut laughing at.
Mm-hmm.
I still gut laughed at. My favorite line in this movie is a movie that you probably won't even register as my favorite line in the movie. Like, well, I want to see if you can pick that out.
Okay.
Because I always like the obscure kind of like.
Sure.
Why is that funny?
I'm sure I missed it.
Jack Spade see in that?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that. And we will chat about the finer points along the way of Something About Mary.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get into it.
Yeah. Let me find my notes because I take notes. We get a song in the park about Mary because there's just something about her. And she is adorable. Okay. She's super sweet girl. She's the cool girl. But we meet her and we meet a 16-year-old Ted who is totally a nerd. But Mary asks him to go to the prom with her after he defends her brother from being picked on, who has a mental illness.
Go on.
Not mental illness. That was wrong. He's on the spectrum. What would I call a sweet boy? He's a sweet boy.
Ouch. Man. When does passive aggressive politically
because you laughed at me when I kept calling the other from Killzone. I called him a sweet, sweet boy. And I feel like that got latched onto. So this is another sweet boy.
That's like in the South when someone says, bless your heart. They don't mean that in a nice way.
No, he was a sweet boy.
And you don't mean that in a nice way.
I do mean it in a nice way. I've got people without that problem, sweet boys. It's
what
fine.
Problem?
I don't know. An intellectual disorder. I don't know how to say things anymore. He is on the spectrum.
Sure. Let's go with
sure.
that. Let's roll
yes,
with it.
Yes. Yes. And anyways, he defends the brother who's being picked on. So Mary is super sweet to him and asks him to go to prom with her. So he goes to pick her up and he tries to be sweet with the brother, which goes wrong. You do not mess with his headphones or his ear. He did a little magic trick and it freaked him out. Then he goes to the bathroom.
First up, we got to talk about Mary's stepfather.
Oh, yeah,
Keith David.
Keith David.
Don't sleep on Keith David. Whenever Keith David shows up in a movie, I'm like, fuck yeah, Keith David.
He answers the door, and it does not match.
No.
I love the wedding pictures. Him with the mother in that big-ass house was so great.
I love how he fucks with Ted when he gets up. He's like, what you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm here to pick up Mary. He's like, oh, she just left with her boyfriend, Woogie, like 10 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Ted, I'm fucking with you.
Which is what she does throughout the movie,
right?
Which is great.
And Keith David has such a demeanor about him that even if he was just kind of ha-ha messing around with you, mm-hmm. you'd really think he was just like, oh, this man means every word he says.
Correct.
Because that's
Correct.
How he presents himself.
But he seemed like a very good, wholesome family man, though, you know?
Right? Yeah.
It was great. So anyways, he has that episode. He goes to the bathroom and he accidentally zips up his dick, which
Jesus
looked
Christ.
Gnarly as shit. Is that a problem? Is that a problem in your community?
I think every dude at one point or another has accidentally zipped, got caught some skin.
It's in the way. It's got to get in the way sometimes.
Fuck. The scene still hurts. Every dude hates this scene, especially when they show it.
They finally show it, and I'm like, how the hell do you do that?
Right?
That's aggressive.
I love before they show it, leading up to it, everyone that responds to it. Because just this grand fucking line of firefighters and police and just random people walking by going, what's going on here? They take a look at it and like,
everyone's taking a look.
How did you got the Frank and beans in there?
How did you get
them
the beans on top?
Scholars have tried to figure that out.
I bet.
And then eventually he turns around and like it shows the camera. He's got like one nut just encased by zipper. You're like, oh fuck.
And I was like, I don't think that's how zippers work, but I didn't pause it to keep scientifically analyzing it and how it really worked. Philly is one of those magic bullet things. It was just a once in a lifetime.
Back and to the left.
But yeah, everybody has to take a look, the policeman, the fireman, and then they unzip him. They're like, you know what? You just got to unzip it. And they're like, he's a bleeder. We got a bleeder. And so they have to take him to the hospital.
When they get him in the ambulance, they drop him. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
But then as soon as they found out he was okay, it's just like, okay, keep it in.
That was
super funny.
That was the cherry on top, I thought, in that thing. So he gets taken to the hospital. He doesn't go to prom. He's very embarrassed. They end up graduating, and then she moves a couple of days later. So nothing ever happened after that big ordeal. And he's currently telling this. We go to present day. It's what? I don't know how many years later. 13 years later. I think. And he's telling his therapist current day, who he's always the dad in Step Brothers to me, because that's the first time I remember him in anything. And now I'm like, God, he was in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not even in the room. He's sneaking back in the room while Ted is telling his story, right? And he still loves Mary. So with the help of a friend.
I want to say real quick, too. I think it's super funny that, you know, like the therapist was just like, I want to sneak out of this room and have some lunch
right.
while this dude is talking. How many therapists do you think are truly just checked out?
There's no way somebody can listen to all that shit all day long.
That's
Not
what
with
I'm
everybody.
Saying. No.
Not with everybody.
No.
And you know they're gossiping that shit.
Right.
You know, that'd be the only great thing about dating a therapist is to maybe hear some of the shit they hear.
Oh, man.
You know,
I wonder how many therapists, though, are just kind of over it and don't care.
Well,
Like when they're outside of right. it, if they have that spouse, it's like, oh, tell me about, you know, the fucking psycho with the, you know, yeah. fucking.
I want to hear all the drama.
Furry problem or whatever.
Damn.
And they're like, I don't know. It's so boring to me. I don't care. It's a simple disorder. Da 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 da. Medicate this. I'm right. so like, and then they're just completely desensitized to everything.
They have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be the craziest ones in the bunch.
You would think.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Mm. Anyway, so with the help of his friend Dom, I think is what we're calling him right now, Ted hires a man named Pat Healy, who's like a private detective, or he finds stuff out about people at Dom's business. Don't they work together or yep. something like that?
Yeah, he's an insurance adjuster, claims adjuster.
Yes, right. So he's used to skulking around and finding all the deets, and he finds Mary in Florida, in Miami. Miami, papi.
what do you think of the look of Pat Healy?
Well, I've always found Matt Dillon to be, that's him, right?
Yeah, yep.
To be a kind of attractive dude, but not with that mustache and not with that shirt. And it's like you just covered him in grease. He's just sleazy.
There
is gross. Like they had to figure out how do we not make him as good looking as he is.
I don't care who you are as a dude. If you give him that pencil thin mustache, yeah. immediate douche,
immediate possible kid diddler, immediate yep. possible. What? I mean, they're gross. You can't do that.
I will say, however, the Hawaiian shirt with the sport coat over top of it. That's a good look. That's a dope look. I'd rock that.
Yeah, you would. Certain people could, I yep. guess. Yeah, that
but
would
not,
work.
But not that mustache.
But not that mustache, no. I personally think a mustache needs to be connected to more facial hair.
I agree.
I have seen some people who I'm like, that's one of the best looking mustaches I've seen. I'll let you pass. But
right.
I'm a firm believer there needs to be more.
If very rarely does it happen, but if I ever meet someone with that pencil thin mustache, that's all I can look at.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to hide it. I'm just looking straight down at their upper lip.
Yeah. Yeah. They've touched someone they shouldn't have, in my opinion.
That's their penance.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's their mark.
That's their scarlet letter.
Yep. Pretty much to me.
Pencil mustache for you, sir. Kid fucker.
Oh, my goodness. Can't believe all the Catholic Church doesn't have pencil mustaches.
Hey-o. On Easter, Leanne.
Oh,
on
shit,
Easter.
It is Easter. Well, who came up with the holiday? Who knows? I don't know. I think the Catholics did.
Probably.
Sure. Whatever. Here's your Easter basket.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Kid diddlers.
Like, fuck you. Jesus, motherfuckers. Anyways, so Pat Healy finds her in, I think it was Miami, Florida, and she is so sweet, right? She knows everybody. She says hi to everyone. She's sweet to her brother and his friends. Like, she's super involved, and she's single, apparently, because she changes her mind too much, but she's a good gal.
Right.
She's got everything. She's not a snotty bee.
She is not a woman that exists.
I don't think you can have it all.
No.
No.
In any form, in any universe, in any reality, that woman does not exist.
No. No. Damn it. We can't have it all. God. Ugh. So, but when Pat gets with Ted about Mary to give him an update, he tells Ted that Mary is, like, she's a big gal, she has four kids with different dads who are not involved, and she's even in a wheelchair and a whole bunch of shit, right? Because he wants to pursue Mary himself because there's something about Mary.
Yeah, everyone just seems to be enamored with her.
Everybody just seems to be in love with her. So Healy moves to Miami. And by the way, we need to mention that there's a two-man group in this who kind of narrates as the story goes. I did like that.
Okay.
I did think that was cute because I don't think I'd ever seen it done before. I was like, I like that. That's a good idea.
That's a nice touch. Yeah.
So anyways, even after all that, Ted still wants to connect with Mary, but Healy kind of blows him off from doing that, right? So he starts, Healy does, trying to get to know Mary, and he totally is spying on her, listening in on her conversations. So he lies and acts like everything that she mentioned she wanted to her girlfriends. He has a home in Nepal. He's an architect. He works with the retards.
I like how you put that. I like how you put that in quotation marks, like anyone could see you doing that.
Do you know how much I do that on the air? And I'm thinking, well, maybe my inflection will tell them right. that there are quote marks being used.
Yeah.
Because that's how my brain works. So, and Ted then finds out that Mary is actually an orthopedic surgeon and she's still a fox. So Ted now decides he's going to go to Miami and be like, no, this is my girl.
Yep.
Right? If he didn't even say that much. He doesn't say a lot in this movie. He doesn't do a lot in this movie.
No, he really doesn't.
He really don't.
This is more Matt Dillon's movie, it really seems, was. It was Ben Stiller.
Did Ben Stiller write it?
I don't know. I think it was like written and directed by the Farleys.
Oh, okay.
I could
okay.
be wrong on that, but I don't fact check.
I just always assumed it was a Ben Stiller movie. I think I do put that on him. Like I give it, like if he's in a movie, I'm like, oh, he probably wrote it.
I don't think he started doing that until like later on. Like okay. I know Tropic Thunder was his.
Correct. Now I just assume that every other movie he's been in, he's right, written. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he writes and directs and shit? Oh, well, then that's his movie too.
Yeah.
You know. That's how my little brain works.
That's how Hollywood does it.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever. So, by the way, we do know that Mary has a roommate.
Oh, my God.
Magda.
Yes.
Magda, who has the dog. Oh, I can't remember the dog's name.
Puffy.
Puffy, which is a great name for that dog. And I literally was like, in my notes, I'm like, that is every middle-aged person I've ever seen in Florida. Because I'm from Florida.
I was going to ask. I was going to say that character played by Lynn Shay, who is amazing. She has had a career resurgence in the last decade.
Is that the lady from the Insidious movies?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
So she's kind of, you know, she was in a lot of like comedies and stuff, like the Farley Brothers movies, like Kingpin and right. this and but then she kind of got that resurgence is in like the horror movies, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple of friends that have met her at conventions and stuff says she is like the nicest, sweetest person on the planet.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, yeah, she's great here because she literally is the embodiment of an older person in Florida, right?
A lot of leathery skin in Florida.
The leathery skin. There's lots of hairspray. You got to spray it down because of the humidity in the air. So you really got to get it going. She's got it wasn't a muumuu that she was wearing, but like that bright color and the flowiness of her shirt or whatever it was,
yep.
or her outfits throughout, and obsessed with her little dog. Absolutely 100% perfect.
Get you.
The Farleys have a grandmother who lived in Florida.
They did their research on
this
one?
They did their research.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's legit.
So, anyways, there's talk about, like, I think I kind of went in and out on this, but Magda loves the dog. I think the dog is supposed, well, if the dog likes them, then they're a good person.
Yeah.
Right? Because Healy ends up drugging the dog. To make the dog just chill out so that he could hold the dog and show, oh, he's a good person. The dog likes him, right?
So what's super funny when watching this part is I had my dog, Bonnie McMurray, sitting next to me, mm-hmm. who was like fucking wild at points.
Yes.
And we legitimately have doggy CBD for her.
Well, she's a puppy.
I was like, well, she's almost two. She's over that
shit. She's not almost two. Uh-huh. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you letting her run and get her, you know, it's like a kid.
Like take her for walks, take her outside, do all this shit. But she just sometimes she just gets the devil in her.
Well,
and I'm happens. Like, here are your doggy drugs.
Right.
And this movie, he's like, he's throwing up the fucking, or he throws a little doggy treat through the door, spiked with something. And I was just like, oh, that reminds me, Bonnie, it's time for your medication.
it's time to slow you down.
Yeah. Got
to
make you docile and likable.
Damn it. So he accidentally gives a little bit too much because as they're going to get him a refreshment and a bundt cake, he notices the dog is dead. And that sequence of him giving the dog like CPR and all that shit was amazing. And he's like, he gets wires out and he tries to shock the dog and then he sets the dog on fire. And then when he finally gets it out, the dog comes back to life.
There's another sequence later in the movie with Puffy. And like, I don't care what movie it's in, even if it's a piece of shit, like physical comedy like that will always be hysterical.
It's great. It's that panic. That's really good. So anyways, after all of that, they go on their date and he's obviously such a liar, but she just falls for it. She doesn't even get it. And I'm like, oh, here's your flaw. Here's your flaw. She finally had one. And her architect friend does some checking in on this Healy guy and finds that Healy's not an architect. Oof.
Uh-oh.
I wonder who else isn't an architect or British. We'll find out.
Way to foreshadow.
Right? So after we get that information on Healy, we then go back to Ted to see what he's doing. Ted has picked up a hitchhiker.
Fuck yeah.
And they are driving, and this guy is carrying some kind of case, and he's going on and on. So Ted stops to go take a piss. And well, when he...
We missed my favorite line in the movie.
I wasn't paying attention. Tell me what it is. So
First off, the dude he has in the car is... the actor's name is like Harlan Williams. He's a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And he has...
I've always found him gross.
Really?
Yeah. Like, every now and then he'll make me laugh, but more than often, I'm off-putted.
So he had... I don't really... you're off-putted.
I'm off-putted.
Off-putted.
I'm off-put. I realized when I said it, it was wrong.
His stand-up isn't really that great, but he is responsible for one of my all-time favorite stand-up jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke is this. Hey, fucking comedy is all about impersonations, right? So I'm going to do my impersonation of Jack Nicholson in The Shining, but in Spanish. And he turns around. And he his back is to the crowd. And he turns around again, does the thing with his, messes up his face. So he looks a little more like Jack.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you out of your fucking mind, Pedro?
Okay, that's funny.
That's really fucking funny.
That's really
a great joke.
Really good.
That is a perfect joke.
It wins me some brownie points.
I love him for that joke. He was in a movie that I know I've talked about several times that I want you to watch while you're high, Half-Baked.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get halfway there, I think.
Sure.
He was
in Superstar, wasn't he?
I think he was in that too.
Like not a small. He was a small part though.
Yeah. But in this, he's super funny to me. Like, that's how he is. How he is in this is kind of like how he presents himself or whatever. But when he's talking about, like, he has this idea for a seven-minute abs. And the guy is, because he's like, you know about those 8-minute abs? Well, I got 7-minute abs. Why would you want to work out for 8 minutes when you work out for 7 minutes? And Ben Stiller goes, yeah, well, I mean, you'd be great until someone comes out with 6-minute abs.
Mm-hmm.
And dude just has a meltdown. He's like, what are you talking about 6-minute abs? That's insane. Like, you're talking about Gorgonzola when it's strictly brie time, baby. Step into my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired. And that is my favorite line in the fucking movie. God damn. And you just sitting there stone-faced.
Really? That was your favorite line of the movie?
That makes me laugh so goddamn hard.
Which part? The fired or the Gorgonzola?
The fired. Step into my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired.
Wow.
It's so fucking good.
Is it?
It is.
Is it?
Fuck you.
Okay.
Fuck, it's hilarious.
Maybe it's the delivery that I don't remember that makes it funny.
It's 100% the delivery, but goddamn, it cracks me up every time. Even when I knew it was coming, I was sitting there on my couch just giggling like a fucking...
Interesting.
Quote, unquote, retard.
You can't just say that word on your own.
I put the quote in quote.
You said it willy-nilly.
I put the quote in quote.
But it didn't have anything to do with the movie there.
It did, because you said it earlier. It was a callback to earlier when you didn't put the quote in quote on it.
You're fired.
Well, should I step into your office?
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
See, that's fucking funny.
I love that that's the line. That really makes me happy. Oh, man. So he's picked up this hitchhiker, And so this, I think that's the part where he decides he's going to take a break and go take a piss.
Correct.
And he stops at this park or whatever, and it's pitch black, and he goes, and then you hear some people chatter. He gets arrested because it looks like he's sucking some dudes off. Filled with dudes.
Which was a great callback to earlier in the movie when he's talking to the therapist. Mm-hmm. And he's like, rest areas are breeding grounds for homosexuals.
Oh, that's right. I missed that.
He's like, what? Are you serious? He's like, no. And like, he was very adamant about that. He was like, this is what they are. Right. Like, you don't stop at rest areas.
Mm. Well, he stopped there. And he got arrested because he tripped and supposedly landed near a man's dick. And after he gets arrested, they find a body in his car. The hitchhiker is a serial killer, but the cops think, of course, that it's Ted. Ted has a misunderstanding where he admits to being the serial killer of a bunch of hitchhikers in a comedy of errors.
Yes, he was just like, well, how many times have you done this? What hitchhikers? I don't know.
Because
like,
we learned that hitchhiking is illegal in that state or something. I think it was. So whichever one they're traveling in. So of course he like admit like, oh well, I'm sorry, I've done it several times and blah 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 blah. So he thinks he's talking about the illegal hitchhiking, but the cops are talking about him being a serial killer.
That's how
I'm gonna go to prison.
Yeah,
I'm gonna accidentally admit to something like that.
I did like in this sequence when, you know, Ben Stiller inadvertently admits to this and the cop gets super pissed and he slams Ben Stiller's head on the desk a couple times and then the other cop breaks him up and then he goes to the other cop like he's like, are you okay? Are you all right? And Ben Stiller's just sitting on the counter just bleeding his face off.
Do you know what's funny? I don't even remember that.
Jesus.
And I sat and watched this movie. I don't remember what you're talking about.
What the fuck?
They bashed his head?
Yeah, like, because
I missed it.
Because the one cop that's sitting across from him gets all disgusted by what Ben Stiller is saying.
I don't even remember.
And then he's like, you sick freak. And he picks him up and he slams his head like three times. And the cop in the middle breaks him up, completely ignores Ben Stiller, but is asking his cop, are you okay? Are you all right? Did he get you?
Well, damn. I sat and watched this whole entire movie. I don't remember that.
Wow.
I guess I zoned out. My B, y'all. Anyway, so he admits to being a serial killer, but luckily he eventually gets freed thanks to fingerprints and DNA. But I do love him spooning with his cellmate in the jail. A big old guy. That did make me laugh.
I'm glad you caught that part.
Yeah, I remember that one. Two dudes in the bed, I remember that one. Yeah.
And the guy spooning him is all upset because he's losing his buddy.
Yep, So anyways, let's see. Pat Healy and his buddy, Jeffrey Tambor, who's shortly in this movie. We should have had more of him.
I just like him.
I like his voice.
Sure.
I like him in Arrested Development. I think that's the biggest thing I've watched him in.
Okay, sure.
And I really am a big fan of his voice for some reason. But anyways, he and Pat, they fake a phone call because we know that Magna listens in on her neighbors, right? So they fake a phone call and make it sound like Healy was just in the Peace Corps, but he only lied because women care about money and all that kinds of shit. So he was just lying to try to make Mary like him.
I got to imagine if you are a private investigator, you can employ some like super villain tactics.
Sure.
To make women fall for you.
I would assume so.
Spying like on them. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Planting bugs and little listening devices and shit.
Redundant.
Saying all the right things.
Yeah.
We got a spy shop here in town.
We do. And they always have fun sayings on the sign.
They do.
I want to go in there so bad, but I don't know what to do if I got spy equipment.
Spy on people.
I know, but I don't know who to spy on.
People at the station.
Ooh. Yeah. Almost set one up in your pink office.
Do it.
See what you got going on. You can't even use your computer. You got nothing going on. You haven't hung anything up.
You would bug my office and you would just like, okay, let's tune into what Jack Spade has to say. You just hear the door close. Step into my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired. He's not talking to anybody.
He's just talking to himself.
He's just reciting stupid movie lines to him fucking self. He really is this idiotic.
And honestly, I've heard it enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore. I'm not spying on you. No. I don't need to know what else you're doing.
Thanks. I mean, that's it.
I don't need any more of you. I'm just kidding.
You would just hear like keyboard strokes, and then I wonder if Leanne's seen something about Mary.
Beep, doop, beep.
Step into my office because you're fine. Yeah, fucking like that one. More keyboard strokes. God, I can't believe that fucking bitch didn't like The Crow though. Fuck her. I should have ended the podcast. Ah, enough. Keystrokes get angrier.
Then I come in playing music and you're like, how did you know?
I was like, oh, hey, what's going on? Doing all right?
Step into my office.
Yeah, step into my office because you're fucking fired. Hey, Jack, we got a cheese plate over here from one of our clients. You wanna get some cheese off of this plate? You're talking about Gorgonzola when it's Strictly Brie time, baby.
I'm sorry, he's retarded. Did you hear my air quotes in my voice?
Uh-uh.
Nope. Damn it.
Listeners, believe me when I tell you there were no air quotes.
There was air quotes.
No.
There were air quotes.
I was sitting here watching. I didn't see any air.
You liar. You lie. Lie like a dog. Shit. So Mary and her friends hear this fake phone call, and so they start to feel bad for Healy. You know, they think, oh, maybe he is really a good guy. You know, all that bullshit. Because women are dumb sometimes. Women are just stupid.
That's a true story.
So they start to really date, but then it kind of does go downhill a bit. You know, he's not really the greatest. I mean, he is a piece of shit dude. And then finally, Ted finds Mary with help of his friend Dom, right?
Yep.
Isn't that what we're calling him? He helps him out when he gets out of jail and gets him down to Miami, right? So she blows off a date with Healy in order to go out with Ted, and finds out in the middle of all this from her architect friend that Healy is a murderer. On top of everything else, Healy has murdered people and he's been to prison, right? Now, this is all fake. He didn't really murder anybody. It's because that the British architect who, when he was trying to pick up his keys off the ground at one point with his damn
with his crutches,
I did laugh a lot. That whole weeble wobble thing got me.
He did have a good weeble wobble.
It was a good one,
right?
He got
the good shaky leg in there.
He was like, I've done this thousands of times. And then he just kept on. So that was a good bit. But we find out that he's not an architect and he's not British. And guess what? He's not crippled either. He is named Norm and he delivers pizza.
Yep.
And he's in love with Mary.
Just delivered her a pizza one night and then immediately fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
So came up with a whole persona, broke his back.
Correct. Crippled, ended up and had a British accent and became an architect just to try to win Mary over.
Yep.
My goodness. Meanwhile, Ted's, so Ted's getting ready to go out on his date. We found out all that backstory. Ted gets ready to go out on his date and his buddy tells him, don't go out with a loaded gun. And I put in my notes, a whole hog. Because now I'm whole hog gal. Because between the recording of last episode where I said whole hog and today, two of our friends have referenced the whole hog.
Whole hog Lily.
I'm whole hog Lily now. And I told one of them, I said, I've never said whole hog ever in my life until the day I said it on this podcast. And now I'm whole hog gal.
Yep.
So anyways.
This, by the way, some sound fucking advice. Never go out with a loaded gun, fellas.
That does seem like good advice.
That's a
right.
Legit thing.
Yeah. Women get clouded too, but men super, super clouded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was a good idea. The problem is that we see Ben Stiller jerk off for too long. Like, that's where you could have cut some of the movie.
Yeah.
And you'd have cut it down by what felt like 50 minutes. Dude went to town. I didn't need to see it. I didn't need to see a face. I didn't need to see. I know you want to watch people's tapes and shit. I don't. I didn't want to watch that. I didn't want to watch that.
That was too good. That would be one of those moments where if a parent walked in and you're watching, like,
you're done.
I'm changing the channel. I don't know what this is. Just in his bathroom,
with the papers laid out. They're laid out so pristine and perfect and straight and everything. Like that was the crazy. Like so much preparation went into that.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know why my brain went here, but when he had the lingerie ad from the newspaper laid out, I just thought about the Sears catalogs. Remember the Sears catalogs from back in the day?
Yeah.
That was like Pornhub before Pornhub.
I've heard that was y'all's jam.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
it was like you could go through at a certain age, you could find the Sears catalog in my house with the toys circled that I wanted for Christmas, and then pages ripped out from later on.
Oh no!
In the lingerie section.
You can't rip out pages.
Oh, they were gone.
Oh no! Did you get confronted?
No.
He's a boy. Yeah, just leave it alone.
Like just get him as Transformers. He'll be fucking happy.
Dude, parents throw in the towel when it comes to boys. They're just like, right. We don't want to know. Just leave him in there.
Did you ever in your group of friends? Was there ever one person that had like pornography and shared it with everyone?
No, not that I know.
No,
no.
One of my friends' dads.
Girls don't do that.
Well, I don't know because
I don't remember. Yeah, but I don't remember I don't ever remember hearing that about my dude friends.
Okay, because you had such a small circle. We did. But a buddy of mine that lived two houses down, his dad had a Playboy subscription. So when Playboy was a huge thing and he'd be like, "Oh, look at this." He'd be doling them out like fucking candy, right?
Oh my gosh.
And so I had a couple, my brother had a couple. My brother got busted and my mom found him and he immediately rolled on me.
What? He's a bitch, man.
Sure is.
Mm.
But see, I was smarter.
Too much like his mama.
I was smarter than that because I told him, you know, he's like, I'm like, hide these under your bed. And so he thought I had them under my bed. Mm-hmm. I had them in my closet.
Smart move.
Mom looked under the bed. I was like, I don't have anything. It was fucking him.
Right.
He's the pervert.
Did she ever find them?
Fuck no. So I went even a step further because then I got paranoid and I was like, I really need to hide these somewhere good. Where can I put these? Where can I put these? Where can I put these? So I found a manila envelope. And I put them in the manila envelope, and then I put that envelope in the giant, I unzipped the giant beanbag chair that I had, and I put them in that.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
The only downside is whenever I took them out, the static electricity on all the styrofoam beads would stick to everything, and it would just cause beads to just catapult out of this beanbag, and I'd have to put them all back in three by three. So it was more of a fucking chore than it was worth.
That's too funny. Well, there were no beanbags involved in this episode that we watch on the...
Beanbag.
He did. Yeah. Never mind. So we watch him do that for way too long. And then he goes to clean up and there's nothing to clean up. At first I was like, what is he fucking looking for? And then I realized what he was looking for. But it took me a second. I was like, what is he do? Oh, he's like, where did it go?
I mean, every dude's had that problem, too.
Well, I don't know how it somehow wound up on his fucking ear.
Sometimes they just go off.
Well, that's going in the front of the episode. And then everybody can have fun with that one. So it winds up on his ear, and he doesn't know that until he opens the door. Mary's there, and she was like, what's on your ear? And Mary thinks it's hair gel, and she needs some. So she grabs it off of his ear and puts it in her hair, which and no mirror. Number one wrong decision, and her hair sticks straight up. That's the only thing I knew from this movie is that that was jizz.
I mean, that's a super iconic scene. That
right.
Is, yeah, everyone knows that one.
Yeah.
Even if you hadn't seen the movie, you know that.
Exactly. I knew somehow she gets jizz in her hair. But I didn't know anything that went around with it. I didn't know that he lost it and then she found it.
So you know how when when Suicide Squad came out, everyone was Harley Quinn
yeah.
for Halloween. Like when this movie came out, that Halloween, everyone was Cameron Diaz with the jizzed up hair.
I bet.
It was a great time to be alive.
So they have their sweet date. Her hair does stick up for a while, and then later on, her hair's perfect. So she got rid of she combed out the jizz, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that would leave something there, but it looked clean afterwards. So whatever.
A little bit of the crusties.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, they have a sweet date, but Healy and Norm give Magda's dog some speed, and they don't know how much they're getting it. And of course, it attacks Ted when Ted enters the apartment.
Magda actually gets some of that speed as
That's
well.
Right. She does. And she's like lifting up the couch
just
and vacuuming underneath.
Like crazy.
That would be me on speed.
Yeah. Purple Tigers.
Yeah. That's what I did when I was on Purple Tigers.
Just vacuum the shit out of your apartment.
Yep. Exactly. That was it. So, so Ted gets attacked. And then he ends up, I guess, he throws Puffy out the window, doesn't he? Because
Puffy ends up jumping at him and he ducks.
He ducks.
And he jumps out the window.
The full dog cast really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Him carrying around that dog just in a full cast was great. And then he accidentally leaves it on top of the car.
Yeah.
And that was great. So Ted and Mary are starting to date, right? He hangs out with Warren, her brother, her sweet, sweet boy brother.
Sweet boy.
Until she gets an anonymous letter that Ted hired Healy to spy on her and to stalk her. And he confesses why he did it. He was like, I've always thought about you. I've always been in love with you. But he still leaves. He leaves Mary.
Aww.
And then he really cries a lot. No. That's later on in the movie. Anyways, he leaves. So Ted finds Healy and Norm and their apartment. I guess they live together now. I don't know. And they're
that was Healy's apartment where dude was staying with the dog.
Yeah.
And then the dog just left a big old shit on the fucking carpet. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't.
Just a big old fucking link.
Jeez Louise. But neither one of them sent this letter. So who else could have sent this letter? You know, back in the day, Mary didn't go to prom, or Mary had a boyfriend named Woogie.
Yeah.
Woogie. And there was mention of him at the beginning. And then there was mention that she had a stalker when she went to college, and that made her change her name. That's why she was so hard to find. And we find out that it was Woogie who was stalking her, who is Ted's friend, Dom.
Dom Woganowski.
Dom Woganowski. It's all right there.
And like,
Ted didn't know. And he's like, my name's Woganowski.
Yeah. All throughout the movie, whenever he shows up, like as the movie goes on, he
yes.
just gets like these stress hives.
He's got these sores. They look like bad sores.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're stressed. That, like you have a little one and then there's more coming up. And then when we see him confront her in the apartment. He's in the apartment. His face is covered.
And he's got one like right on his eye.
Oh God,
that
it's
fucking
disgusting.
Bugs me. I'm like,
yes.
Oh fuck. Just like, if I have one of those, just kill me.
Yeah, I know. If I have any, like people have styes on their eyes. Some, like if I just, I feel.
Yep. Just,
I've never had a cold sore in my life and there's nothing wrong with it. But if I ever get one, I think I would jump off a cliff.
Yeah. Like especially on your eyeball. Just put me to sleep. Put
yeah.
me down.
Mm-hmm.
Put me down.
No. Don't want it. Don't want to have to deal with it. So anyways, it was him. He's now in Mary's apartment. And we find out that he's the stalker and all this sorts of stuff. Oh, and he calls his rashes or his sores his love blisters. Right? So thankfully, Healy and Norm are listening in. And they save her. They both confess who they really are. And then Ted comes in to this whole thing. Also, Woogie likes to steal her shoes.
Yeah, he's got
that's
a shoe
his
thing.
Consolation yeah. prize. He steals her shoes. So anyways, we're all in this apartment. And then here Ted comes in with Brett Favre. And it's actually Brett Favre
yeah.
who can't act, but he also sounds Southern for some reason.
You fucking horribly cannot act.
Terrible.
My God.
It was terrible. Now, apparently Mary dated him back in the day, and Norm made up a lie about him and how he treated Warren, said that he did something bad to him. So Ted gets them back together because Brett Favre was the only one who truly dated her and did not go to crazy means to date her or lie to her about it, right? So Ted sets them up, and it's not even heartfelt. Like, he just, again, he was nothing in this movie.
Right.
Ted was, right? But he gets them together, and then he tearfully leaves, which I tried to find funny, but
what I thought would have made it actually, like, super-duper funny if that's how the movie ended.
Right.
If it just cut credits, boom, written and directed by the Farley brothers. I'm
right.
Like, that'd have been fucking funny.
That would have been ruthless.
Yeah.
That would have been sad. I don't like that one either. I don't like that one either. His funny cry was not funny enough.
No.
And then, so he's walking away, and he's leaving, and then Mary runs out after him to say that she would be happier with Ted. Like, Brett's fine, but I'd be happier with you.
And in hindsight, you know, like what Brett Favre actually went ahead and did, he probably made the right call.
Yeah, he was flashing his dick, wasn't he?
Like, doing that, like scamming from his charity, doing all kinds.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he was doing all kinds
of that. He had an issue with his charity? I didn't know that part. Yeah. I thought we were just on him because he sent his dick.
I mean, yeah, I did that, but like, the charity thing was fairly recent. I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I hate that for old Brett Favre, but
yeah,
if that's what Brett Favre do, then fuck him.
I mean, well, you're telling me everyone's a piece of shit? Yeah, that's what we're telling you.
It's crazy. So they start to kiss. They embrace each other in the street because they're going to be together. And then this is the thing I think I laughed at the most. Magda's found her an old sailor boyfriend, you know? And I think that's what he was. And he comes out and he tries to shoot Ted because he was just banging Magda so that he could get with Mary because he's in love with Mary. And he misses. And then we have that's right. We have our two man band. And that's who her boyfriend hits.
Trying to shoot Ted and
He shoots one of the band. But we have our song. And then we have our song and dance at the end where all of the cast dances. Which I remember that from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
40-Year-Old Virgin did it better, though. And then that is the end of the movie.
There was.
Something about Mary.
You, like, rattled through that in such a, like, a quick order. It's like, if the movie was that tight. If it was cut a little better.
I was shocked to see that it was 2 hours long, and then it felt like it was 2 hours long.
Yeah, like you said, some of those scenes just drag forever.
Yeah, or we just didn't need it. We didn't need the storyline.
No,
you know,
no, still good. I thought it was still great. But it definitely has some of those like moments where he's like, Jesus Christ.
Is it one of those that like opened the door for a lot of different type of comedies in that realm or?
I mean, yeah, because so Hollywood seems to think, you know, like if you have an R-rated movie, it's not going to do well with the younger crowd or whatever. But then like an R-rated, like so comedies and stuff, they always try to make them like PG-13. And then every now and again, like a hard R comedy comes out and like Something About Mary and it makes $330 million.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, we need to make as many R-rated comedies as we can. And then that happens for a little while. And then you hit a point of diminishing returns. And then it goes away for a while.
Right.
And then another movie like The Hangover comes out. And then everything is an R-rated comedy for a while.
Right.
Deadpool is a perfect example. Like, superhero movies can't be R-rated. We gotta, you know, we can make them a little bit dark and edgy, but we can't do more than a PG-13. And then Deadpool comes out,
right?
And it's R-rated. It's like, we need as many R-rated superhero movies as we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start coming out with all this stuff. And again, you get the diminishing returns. You get product that isn't really all that great. And then that goes away for a while until the next R-rated superhero movie does super well. And then it's just like a new endless wave.
Right. So this is the same shit every day.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they never made a sequel to this one.
No, you don't need a sequel to it.
Like, I think because like The Hangover did that, you know, like they made three that were all completely unnecessary.
Yeah,
it's like you could have just made your money off the first one, and then
they should have let that one go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber, unfortunately, they made sequels too.
Oof, and a prequel.
And a prequel.
Yeah, that one was a prequel. That was, I remember watching it, and I, at the time, because I was a child, I was like, this is funny. And then I watched it later on, and I went, oh, this is dog shit.
Yeah.
This is really bad.
So you've seen the original, right?
Yes, Dumb and
Dumber?
Of course.
Okay, did you watch the sequel to Dumb and Dumber?
I think so. I think I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have I? Guess maybe I don't know.
Now with all these these legacy movies coming out, because the sequel to Dumb and Dumber was kind of a legacy movie. They did it like 20 years after the fact or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm really hoping they don't. Oh, let's revisit this one now and see what Something About Mary's all about. Let's see what they're doing 20 years. Like no, let's not.
Are we visiting The Crow? Is that happening with Skarsgård?
They're making that
because it was going to be Momoa.
Dude, it was going to be everyone. Tom Hiddleston was going to be the Crow at one point.
That's dumb.
And what's the dude's name? Like Luke Evans or something like that. He was in like a Dracula movie at one point. Yeah. Momoa was on board for one point. It's like just let that movie fucking know.
Let it die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make another one. And I swear to God, if you like this new one, if you watch it, you're like, I'm going to watch this just to see what it's all about.
What if it's good?
I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it.
Now I want to go to the movie theater and watch it, and I really hope I love it.
Oh, my God. I would fight you in the street.
Yeah. Maybe they do a better job with it. Maybe
Bullshit.
They do a better storytelling job.
Nope.
Come on. Mm-mm. You know that story could be updated.
Mm.
Come on.
Again, it is Easter, and he is risen. I'm talking about Eric Draven. Check out a review of The Crow at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding. Fuck, I hate you some days.
I know. I'm not in the best of moods.
you're really not.
I'm sorry. I've been a big bummer.
Yeah, here's a little inside baseball for Huntsville Home Video.
Oh, no.
If you ever look at the runtime of an episode and it's like under an hour and a half, Leanne's in a bad mood.
Oh, come on. Well, we haven't had many of those.
True.
You know? I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just tired. And this money, I'm sorry. You picked the movies around here and it wasn't that funny.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you should have done your research before you suggested it.
I mean, I did. And my research was, hey, have you ever seen this movie? It's kind of the gist of the podcast.
That's kind of the only research we do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Break out my notes here. Okay, Leanne, looking at some future episodes. Have you ever seen Something About Mary? No, I haven't. It's a $300 million, some people consider a classic comedy, and I've never seen it. Put it on the list. Research completed. Put shuffle these notes away.
You do such a good job at it.
Thank you.
You do a great job at your research.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really proud of you. Your scientific mind.
Yep, I am so scientific.
We didn't go on tangents today.
No.
So am I the keeper of the tangent?
No, not really.
No, I don't think so.
No.
So you didn't do your due diligence here today.
I didn't really have anything to go on a tangent on.
Oh, damn.
I could share with you my favorite Easter meme that I saw today.
What's your favorite Easter meme? You're fired?
It was, no. But if you would, step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fucking fired. It was a Lego Jesus nailed to the cross, and the subtitle, or the caption was, Lego and let God.
I do like that.
That's fucking funny.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should print that out and put that up.
Yeah.
And just see who we offend. That would be pretty funny.
Everyone.
Everybody.
So I have a movie for next week. Like, hey, let me consult my notes. So next week, the movie Renfield is coming out with Nicolas Cage. We've talked about this a little bit.
He plays Dracula.
Dracula. I don't know if you've seen the little clip from the preview or whatever, and I don't know if this is in the movie or if this was just for the trailer, but there is like a clip of like an old black and white Nick Cage as Dracula. So it looks like they might start it, you know, like in that era.
Okay.
Like the Bela Lugosi.
Yeah. The Nosferatu shit.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's pretty fucking cool. And like people are saying good things about this movie and I want to watch it. But that's not what we're going to talk about next week.
We're not?
No. Oh. No. So again, let me consult my notes. We are going to watch a vampire movie.
Ah, shit, man.
I know. Historically, at one point, you did not give a fuck about a werewolf. And we have knocked out some fucking werewolf movies that you have enjoyed the fuck out of.
We had Dog Soldiers and
American Werewolf in London.
That was a good one.
And then you like Silver Bullet.
I did like Silver Bullet going into it.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the holy trinity of werewolf movies as far as I'm concerned. You like those. We did do one vampire movie that you enjoyed, From Dusk Till Dawn. Check out our review at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding.
I did like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were fine.
There is.
Wasn't there another one?
Did we watch
Tales from the Crypt? Were they vampires?
No,
they
weren't vampires. Those weren't vampires.
They weren't vampires.
No.
No. Oh, but man. I don't want to give a fuck about a vampire, but go ahead.
There is a classic vampire movie that is beloved. People love this movie. They love the soundtrack.
Like they love The Crow.
I'm going to fucking bite you today. Jesus Christ. I think secretly you love that movie, but you just want me to think that you hate it.
No, look at me right now. Look at me right in my two eyes here that are in my noggin.
Looking away. Don't want to see it.
Look at me.
No.
You look at me. Look at me. I don't like it.
Let me consult my notes. Podcast notes. Hey, Leanne, have you ever seen The Lost Boys?
Who? No.
Research complete.
Is that with Tom Cruise?
What? No, that's Interview with the Vampire.
Oh. No, and Tom Cruise in it with a bunch of boys? Isn't that what Lost Boys is?
Are you thinking The Outsiders?
Maybe.
God damn it.
I don't know. Is Tom Cruise in The Lost Boys?
No.
Is he a lost boy himself?
No, he is not. I mean, he
is
might.
Is he El Hombre de Lost?
No. No. No, not at all.
Oh.
I mean, he might have been a vampire in The Outsiders. They just never revealed that information within the confines of the movie.
I don't know. You just said Lost Boys, which I envisioned a group of boys, and I just remember a movie that has a group of boys, and I figured it was Tom Cruise. Because I don't know anything about movies. I just know what they look like.
Apparently, you don't even know what they look like. No, this has Kiefer Sutherland.
That guy.
Yeah. Like, do you know who Kiefer Sutherland
is? Yes, I do know who Kiefer
what
Sutherland
is. What movies has he been in?
He's been in a lot. He was in 24.
Yes, a TV show.
A TV show.
But good.
Yeah.
Well done.
I can't name him off.
He was in the. Did you ever see Phone Booth with Colin Farrell?
I did see that one.
He was the fucking bad guy.
He was, and I knew who it was going to be him when his name flashed on the credits, and I was like, "Oh, the big popular guy here. Bet he's the killer."
Yep.
Yeah.
And then if you somehow miss that credit as soon as he spoke, you're like, "Oh, that's Kiefer Sutherland."
Exactly.
Got one of them voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's in that one, and we'll see if.
And he's a vampire.
Maybe. I'm not going to spoil anything.
In Lost Boys, I thought that was Peter Pan.
No. No.
Aren't they lost?
I mean, sure. But they're not vampires.
They're not vampires.
Well, they might because they never age, so they might be.
Well, vampires don't age.
Or depending on if you follow the urban legend, they're actually dead.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a dark Disney urban legend theory. Mm. That like all the kids in Peter Pan are dead.
Right.
Dark.
Well, don't they float around? Or is that just Tinkerbell?
They do. Well, right. they all float down there, just like Pennywise.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're all just dead. Yep. They're in limbo.
Man. Actually, now that I take that back, I like making Disney movies darker. I think we should do
Dark
it more.
Disney's fantastic.
Yeah.
I really want to see that Winnie the Pooh movie. It's not Winnie the Pooh, but that
Blood
movie
and
where.
Honey?
Yeah.
I heard it's awful.
I mean, I figure it's awful, but I still kind of want to see it.
There's another one.
Grinch. That, there's one with the Grinch coming out.
That's it.
And I want to see that one too.
God damn it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I like them taking advantage of something they can take advantage of.
I mean, that's also true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well.
I think it's still in the public domain. Night of the Living Dead is a public domain movie, so you can do anything you want with that movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
Yeah. Huh. I've got a copy of it on DVD where it's just redubbed comically. And it's one of the greatest fucking things I've ever witnessed.
Okay.
You'd probably hate it, though, because you don't, you know, like things. But.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fucking fired.
Oh. But yeah, we'll watch Lost Boys next week.
I don't like things.
Oh, I don't have a third grader sense of humor, Jack. I guess I must not like anything like you. Fucking Riri.
I didn't self-identify with a movie and then never let it go for decades.
I mean, I feel so attacked.
Why have we talked about The Crow more than we've talked about anything?
Because
is it just sitting on the surface?
Probably.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. I mean, I know you like to get your jabs in. I know you keep that one chambered for it's like, oh, if Jack Spade ever gets me with a good one, I'll just tell him how much The Crow sucks. Bah. Got you, fucker. Enjoy your little goth fairy tale, bitch. Pew, well, pew.
You said it, not me.
No, you. I mean, you've said those words.
Have I said that?
You've said those words.
Man, I am funny.
Nah.
No, not really.
No.
I only have one joke.
I mean, you.
My only thing against you.
But you've got like four happy awards to my none.
But three.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But who's
three.
Counting?
You. So we'll check out The Lost Boys next week and see if Leanne gives a fuck about a vampire. Maybe.
Do you think I will?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really like this movie.
Okay.
It's very 80s. So bear that in mind.
Okay.
As far as vampire movies go, I mean, I really like this one. It is one that I think attracts like two different types of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this one under From Dusk Till Dawn, which, I mean, one would argue, well, From Dusk Till Dawn isn't even a vampire movie, blah. But I think it is because there's
vampires in it.
Yeah, so it's a fucking vampire movie.
Yeah.
I would put that at number one. I'd probably put Lost Boys at number two.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Well, look, I don't want to hate vampires forever. You know,
I mean, just like with werewolves, you fucking love werewolves.
I do.
Now.
I'm a big fan of the werewolf mm-hmm. now. Now
you,
I'm
you
all
came
into
around.
It. So I yep. might come around on this one.
Yep. Maybe to set the tone, we should just like go watch Renfield like before we come in to review the movie. So you're in a vampire kind of mood.
What if I don't like that one?
Ooh, then we might be fucked.
Then we might be. I think I just need to go into it like I normally do.
But everyone always says our favorite their favorite episodes are when we aren't agreeing on shit and when you're fucking amped up. No one cares about my hot takes or my tangents. Everyone wants the Lily hot takes. Everyone wants that Lily fire.
Well,
everyone wants whole hog Lily.
I can't with my life. I literally said, I've never said whole hog in my life. And then two grown men were like, whole hog, huh? One at a movie theater. Whole hog, huh? And the other at this very office. Whole hog, huh?
Yeah. One of them at a theater for a children's movie.
Yeah.
Which was
whole
great.
Whole hog, right? also, that was fun.
The Super Mario Brothers movie?
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, we did for the station we work for. We had a private screening.
We did.
Of Super Mario Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty solid.
I love it.
I
thought it was so well done.
Very well done. And as of this recording, making all the money.
Good.
Like $200 million opening is probably what it's going to have. Probably a 300 something or $400 million worldwide.
Good. Fuck you, John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
What the fuck is
Here
up with
go.
Him?
Here we go.
First of all, I don't care what you say. I don't hate Chris Pratt. I don't understand the Chris Pratt hate because he's a good dude.
I understand the Chris Pratt hate.
Why? Why? Because like, he goes to church?
No.
What did he do wrong?
He did kind of fuck over Anna Faris.
How?
Like, that whole divorce thing was pretty shitty and shady.
Oh,
and
divorce?
I mean, well, damn, whoa. Damn. Just way to empathize with the abuser here, Leanne. Holy shit.
He's not an abuser. She's also weird.
I mean,
she's been weird. And she even admitted that she had a lot of hangups that probably fucked up her marriage.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't care about that either way.
Right. You do when it's on Chris Pratt.
I do because he was in the second two Jurassic World movies, and for that I hate him.
Nobody's heart is as broken as mine over what they did to Jurassic Park. Okay. You have the crow. I have dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The second one, don't mind. The third one, very, very bad.
Yeah.
Upsetting to say the least. That's not Chris Pratt's fault.
I mean,
they wrote him wrong.
He couldn't. No,
they fucked up those
movies.
He's
the level of star where he could be like, fix this.
Okay.
I'll say is like, I can understand the Chris Pratt hate because once someone gets to his level of famous, people just like to hate that.
Which doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but that's the way the world is.
So fuck him.
I don't hate Chris Pratt one way or the other. I will say that when they announced him as the voice for Super Mario, I was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I am also pretty firmly on board the camp of like, why are these big name celebrities doing voiceover? Like, no one cares. No one is going to the Super Mario Brothers movie because Chris Pratt is the voice of Super Mario. Like, there are legitimate voice actors out there who are amazing at their craft, who are losing work or, like, flat out retiring from the industry because, like, let's put fucking Chris Pratt and the dude from Sonny and fucking Anya Taylor-Joy in this movie. Like, let's put these big celebrities that, I mean, you can't really even fucking tell that it's them for most part. I will say that Jack Black did a great job as Bowser.
Oh, so that's okay?
I mean, if you do a great job, sure.
Well, Chris Pratt and Charlie Day did a great job.
I
will say when I heard their names, I went, oh, I'm super excited because I fucking love Charlie Day's voice.
I mean, that's fair.
It's redonkulous.
But I will say that a lot of the hate, I think, for Chris Pratt came from like, why would they fucking cast him as Mario? He's already fucking got a good voice. And I think that a fucking hour and a half of it's a me, let's go, I'm a Mario, that would have been super fucking annoying.
That was always my argument. I'm like, you don't want to hear that for an hour and a half.
And I will say, I thought Chris Pratt did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
But that being said, anyone could have done that.
Probably.
Anyone could have done that.
Maybe.
You could have been the voice of Super Mario. They could have like put a little modulation on you, a little tweaking, little tap, tap on the microphone.
True, but you want big names at the box office.
But in an animated movie, I legitimately don't see it. Like, Super Mario is the appeal.
Right.
Like, that's what's making the money. Not Chris Pratt.
Okay. You can understand that.
Yeah.
But we're in agreement on John Leguizamo.
Oh, yeah. He's dumb shit.
What is his argument? He's Latin.
So, right.
So, but he played an Italian plumber.
Correct.
And now he thinks that the movie should be Latin? They should have a Latin presence in there.
Like
that was his jam.
Was like, they've disincluded people, like diversity.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Honestly.
I'm sorry that Toads aren't voicing the actual Toads.
Right. Honestly, like he was just doing that to get his name in the headlines.
100%.
Because fucking whatever.
100%.
But like there have been numerous times where, you know, like you just said, in the original Super Mario Brothers movie, he's Latin, but he's playing an Italian plumber. So now you're taking jobs away from the Italians.
What the fuck? That cultural appropriation.
Yeah. You were in Carlito's Way with Al Pacino where he played a fight.
That's right. He was.
Boom. Didn't say shit about that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Did he care about Scarface where Al Pacino played a Cuban man?
Hypocrisy is a stinky cologne.
Jesus, fuck him too.
Right?
Man.
Yeah.
I had always kind of liked him, but.
I mean, like.
Dude, it doesn't make sense. His argument doesn't even make sense
right.
at all.
Like, you can have some fucking, like, legitimate beef with things. You know, like if you like when a couple years ago when all these actors started dropping out of animated roles, like voiceover roles, if they were playing like against type, you know, like against race, like a white person voicing a black character in an animated mm-hmm. show, the white person would be like, I'm giving this to a you know, POC
person of color.
I'm stepping away from this role. It's like, why? You can do the voice.
Right.
It's not
it's
offensive. It's not a stereotype. It's a fucking voice. You are a voice actor. Mm-hmm. Do the thing. You know, there are like numerous different ethnicities voicing white people.
I don't have a problem.
Voicing other people, voicing, you know, like whatever. Right. I don't fucking care. It's animated. I just want you to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you play a better something than another person, then play that because you're an actor and I want you to play that.
Right. Yeah.
Like when,
well,
when
we do that and then we haven't made a big deal about Brendan Fraser playing an obese man.
Oh, there is a lot of,
but
like,
there are, but that has been drowned. A lot of that's been drowned out because I don't hear it.
It was very quick.
Right. But because we like Brendan Fraser, it did not go to the extent that it would have gone to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you had, what's the example I was going to think of that? I just forgot it. Because I'm just like, this is so dumb. It's such a dumb argument. I was like, whatever. John Leguizamo, no one's going to miss your $14. At Super Mario Brothers.
Correct.
It's already made $400 million.
Correct.
Go enjoy whatever fucking bullshit piece of shit you're going to be in.
Dude, I was rewatching the John Wick movies because I need to see the new one, and I forgot he was in it, and I was like, God damn it, I don't want to watch him in this. But I did it anyway.
Go enjoy the fucking menu, John Leguizamo, the shittiest movie of 2023.
Go enjoy your receding hairline, you bitch.
You want to put John Leguizamo on the Huntsville Home Videos enemy list?
Can we?
Let's do it.
Yes! The enemy list is back. Yeah! This episode went somewhere. It finally went somewhere. I'm sorry. We finally got somewhere.
Only took us an hour and 15 minutes chipping away at it.
Only an hour and 15 minutes.
But our mutual hate of John Leguizamo, that race-baiting piece of shit.
Yeah. Fuck him. He's on the enemy's list. Oh, what a fun day. What a fun day. We got somebody.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got there.
Lumber impersonating bitch.
Also, like Bob Hoskins in that original Super Mario Brothers movie, like a British man playing an Italian plumber.
Right. We don't care.
Yeah, I don't care about either one of those roles. All I care about is the fact that that movie was absolute dog shit.
I know I saw it when I was a kid, and I know it was bad.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
I mean, Dennis Hopper's Koopa was kind of dope, but
okay.
That's just because it's Dennis Hopper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Dennis Hopper's like a white male. He played a king of the Koopas? No. No.
No.
Dumbass.
That's appropriating. God, I hate this world.
So much.
Anyways.
So much.
Hopefully I'm in a better mood next week.
I really fucking hope so. It's hard to carry this team by myself. I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm not the star of the show. No one gives a fuck about me.
I'm just tired. Bitch didn't sleep.
Get out of here. Go get a nap. Until we come back next week, make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
TikTok. Is that still a thing? Did it get banned yet?
Hell no.
Is it going to get banned?
Nope.
Damn it. It's
gonna be around forever.
At HSV Home Video.
And be sure to follow our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography, a literal fire photo shoot
mm-hmm.
with Michael at Underboss Photography this week.
Yeah, you did.
He had this idea. He wanted to do some cool shots for the radio station, the people that actually fucking paid attention. And
I didn't know it was going to look as cool as it did.
Exactly.
I didn't get it.
Uh-huh. That's what's up. That's uh-huh. all right, though. That's uh-huh. all right, though. But now you do. Now you get it. Now yeah. you're like, okay, I want to do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I want my picture with fire now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like if I drag you kicking and screaming long enough, in the end, you will thank me.
Well, now I don't want to do it. Now you've ruined it.
That's not true.
I don't want it. I don't.
Check out some of the photos that Michael did for some of the guys here at the radio station. And we will be doing more in a couple weeks when, again, and Leanne wasn't the only one that didn't like.
Well, first of all, when you said dumpster fire photo shoot was what you said. And I thought I was saying no to that. And then y'all left. And then I felt really bad because I was like, oh, I was a bitch.
I mean, yeah, because when you just recited that, you're just like, oh, and I said no. No, you didn't.
Oh, no.
You said,
was in the middle. I was like, no.
No. And the furrows, like the eyebrows came down.
I'm getting older. My lines are showing.
And you looked at me like I just fucking shit on your desk.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no.
That's okay. I didn't have that gravel in my voice.
That's Michael. I was in the middle.
He wasn't there. He was not next to you. You brought my lighter back by yourself and you said you want to do a dumpster fire photo shoot. And I said, no.
No.
And then you like, well, I tried, or you said something and then you left.
Next, we had shit to do.
I didn't know you were like, you and your little buddy went and go have lunch.
We did. To P.F. Chang's. It was delightful.
You've never taken me to P.F. Chang's.
Well, because you were clearly in a mood to not be around people.
Was he with you or was he not with you when you told me?
I see your mood from Friday has carried over to today.
I was really busy then. I had a good Friday.
Everyone had a good Friday.
Oh, damn. I hate it, but it was great.
Yeah.
That's really good. Don't say you can't carry this team. You've carried the whole episode. You've carried everything here today.
Oh, shit. But everyone else from the radio station will be doing some kick-ass photos in the next couple weeks as well.
If we want to.
Everyone but Leanne will be doing some kick-ass photos in the next couple weeks. And Michael did a phenomenal job of the photo shoot that he did this weekend. If you want to check out the highlights, you want to check out some photos, some reels, follow him on social media on _photography on Instagram, on Facebook.
I didn't doubt him at all, but I didn't get what it was going to look like.
That's cool.
At the end product.
Sure, sure.
And it blew my mind.
It was awesome.
He did a really fantastic job.
Hell yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So go check him out. Give him a like. Give him a follow. If you would be so kind. And until next week, my friends, Leanne, this goes double for you. Be kind. And rewind. You out of your fucking mind, Pedro?
You're fucking fired.